Hello and welcome to the debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. 72.2% of eligible voters have participated in the presidential election of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, according to the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the Iranian nation is the real winner of the elections with this fantastic turnout. This despite a lot of efforts by the mainstream media and their so-called experts in trying to encourage the Iranian nation not to vote. Hassan Rouhani has been declared president-elect of Iran, winning over 50% of the ballots with more than 18.5 million votes. Stay with us as we zoom in on Iran's elections on this, The Debate. I'd like to welcome my guest, first guest out of Boston, from a research associate of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Mr. Jim Walsh. Thank you so much for being with us. Some, your perspective, 72.2% of voters turning out. What does that say about the people's perspective about their government?
Well, I think it's a tremendous turnout level. I think many democracies would envy a 70% turnout level. Now, you know, it seems to me that voters were probably motivated by different things, and that's why the turnout's so high. There are some voters who were satisfied with the system and they were going to vote no matter what. And then there are other voters who had debated, should they vote? Was it worth it? And they decided to vote in large numbers. So some were dissatisfied and voted, some were satisfied and voted. And when you put all those groups together, you got a very high turnout.
Okay, well, we're joined by Professor of University of Tehran, Mr. Fuad Izzadi, who was supposed to be with us in the studio, but because of lots of celebrations taking place on the streets of Tehran so far, he has not been able to get here. Mr. Izzadi, thanks for being with us, though. Please tell us your perspective. Now, our guest out of Boston said there were some who didn't support it or some who did support it, but isn't it true in your perspective that overall, when people actually vote, that it is more importantly a vote for the system itself, that they believe in the honesty of the system, that their vote is actually going to count?
Yes, you're speaking. I'm sitting in a taxi on a highway in Tehran, and we have, it seems, half of population out celebrating the victory of Dr. Rouhani. The distance from my house and the studios is about 20 minutes. We have been in the car for the last 50 minutes or so, and we are far away from the studio. So I apologize for not being there. I think what we have to remember about the elections is that the people of Iran accept the system that is governing their country. You know, we had calls for boycott of the election from BBC Persian, from Voice of America Persian. For the last many weeks, all these media outlets that are associated with the U.S. government, with the U.K. government, have been asking Iranian people not to participate in the elections through different means, you know, through different vocabulary and different programming. And what we see tonight is a big no from the Iranian people to the U.S. government, to the U.K. government, that you need to stop interfering in Iranian internal affairs. People are celebrating, and the celebration is just realizing what has happened, which is people liking the system in terms of basically coming and voting and saying no to all the people who are asking people not to participate. So I think that's a big point that we have to remember.
Okay, well, let me, lots of noise there from the streets of Tehran. Mr. Walsh, what about the enthusiasm? Obviously, hopefully you could hear what we were hearing here in the studio, just some of what is taking place throughout the country as far as the celebrations. Now, what does that say when the people are that enthusiastic enthusiastic because as I was talking to my correspondent just a little while ago who had just made it to the studio, and she said, of course, the majority of the ones that are on the street are young. So 34 years later, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, we have a generation who never saw the revolution, who never lived through the war, and yet supports it so enthusiastically.
Yeah, well, my guess is that most of those young people who are celebrating now were Rouhani supporters, and the folks who were Jalili supporters are probably not celebrating as much, but that's the nature of elections, right? You know, I think it's great that they had a high turnout. I'd be surprised. I know there's reference to Voice of America trying to urge people to stay home. That's the first I've heard of that, and I'd be surprised if that was the case. I mean, there may be individual people who are interviewed who said things, but I doubt that's the position of the news network. But in any case, I think it's great that there was a great turnout. I think it's great that you got a surprise winner. I mean, this election result was a surprise. And I think, you know, people, if you look at the history of Iranian elections, presidential elections, they often are a surprise. Khatami's first election was a surprise. Ahmadinejad's first election win was a surprise, as was the lack of a runoff in 2009. And no one predicted that Rouhani was going to win outright. I think most people expected there to be a runoff, and the fact that he won, you know, against everyone else with such a high percentage, more than 50%, is a surprise. And surprise is a good thing. In democracy, and when you have elections, you want to have surprises. You know, in Russia, they have elections and there are never surprises because everyone knows who's going to win. So this is a healthy thing. It's a healthy thing for the Iranian public to be able to express its opinion. So I welcome it.
Okay, Mr. Azadeh, what about what our guest has said, Mr. Walsh in Boston? He said that he would be surprised if a station like VOA would actually, you could actually say that they were giving the line for the people not to go out and vote.
Yes, I congratulate Jim for realizing what's going on in Iran and expressing his opinions clearly. Unfortunately, we have a lot of pundits and so-called Iran experts that look at Iran from a special lens, which wants to discredit the government all the time, does not want to recognize the democracy that we have here. And in the last election, we had a lot of these so-called experts who accused the government of cheating in the elections. And as Jim said correctly, no one expected Rouhani to win. So if the government wanted to cheat, if the government was the type of government that would cheat, would have done this time, would have said that Rouhani had, instead of 51%, the actual vote that he got, the government could easily say that he had 35% or 30%, what public opinion polls showed. And no one would have questioned the government. So I think it's about time for Western so-called experts to recognize that there is a genuine democracy in the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they need to talk to their governments, these so-called experts, they need to talk to their governments and stop these illegal sanctions against Iranian people. The same people who are celebrating on the streets as we are talking are being sanctioned illegally because of the myth that the Iranian government is not a democracy. They are being sanctioned because of the nuclear program that is quite popular. If you go and talk to every one of these individuals that are celebrating for Rouhani, they are going to tell you that they are proud of Iran's nuclear program, they are proud of the achievements that this government has brought to the people, and these so-called experts in the West need to realize that, and the governments need to realize that, and then they need to tell the Israeli lobby to stop interfering in U.S. foreign policy, and let the U.S. government officials give them a free hand to decide what they want. And instead of that, they accuse Iran of different things, and then you see the result of it.
Okay, what about that, Jim Walsh? I mean, you made a point earlier, you talked about VOA, but I can tell you personally witnessing something on CNN, and yes, it's true that the station itself may not take a particular line, but the guests that they invite, actually they were saying that there was no enthusiasm for the elections, not many people were really interested in voting because they felt that their vote didn't count anyway. Now that we see that obviously is not the case, and as Dr. Azadi has just talked about, do you think that we will see a change in the United States' approach to how they deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran?
Okay, a couple of different points. First, on the networks. You know, I think it's a mistake to try to say all Western Iran experts believe in X or Y, you know, that they're all the same, because they're not all the same. There's a big debate in the United States. I can't speak for other countries, but there's a big debate in the United States between Iran experts who are pro-negotiation, sensitive to Iranian culture. I could name, you know, 10 of them off the top of my head, and those who have a different point of view. There are different points of view in the United States. And just because someone shows up on CNN doesn't mean that somehow that's the official line of the government. I mean, I was on CNN. I gave a pro-negotiation interview to Voice of America just this week. So I think it's a mistake to judge the networks by the guests. And there's
normally different guests who say different things, just like tonight. Let me just jump in here. What about the host? Because the program I'm talking about is GPS, actually Fareed Zakaria, who actually called Iran the longest running dictatorship in the Middle East.
Yeah, I didn't see the interview, so I can't speak to in particular. But Fareed Zakaria, you know, has written a lot in the U.S. about how the pressure policy is not working in the U.S. and how we need to have negotiations. So I would be cautious about drawing about characterizing him. But let me address your other question, which is, that aside. What does this mean? You know, the public supports nuclear power, as my colleague in Tehran has said. And I think he's right. I think all the polling shows that the public does support a civilian nuclear program. And in fact, the issue now is not whether Iran has a civilian nuclear program, but whether there are safeguards so this program does not appear to become a nuclear weapons program. If there's a negotiated settlement between Iran and the so-called P5 plus one, Iran's still going to have a nuclear program, but no doubt about it. And the U.S. and the other negotiating parties have all said that Iran would continue to have a nuclear program. The question is the level of transparency, how open or closed it is, and some particular activities that revolve especially around nuclear weapons. Now, I don't think the Iranian public supports nuclear weapons. There's a fatwa against nuclear weapons, and the Iranian public supports civilian nuclear power. I don't think anyone has any problem with that.
What about that, Mr. Azadi, basically, that our guest in Boston is saying that no one has a problem with the civilian nuclear program? But isn't this the bulk, basically, of what the problem has been? Because no one has, as far as I know, been able to say that Iran has anything else but a civilian nuclear program.
Well, I'm sure Jim follows what's going on in the U.S. Congress. And I'm sure he knows that we have the Israeli lobby that is occupying U.S. Congress. And then you look at the laws that the U.S. Congress has passed in the last few years. And these sanctions, the illegal sanctions that we have imposed on Iran, have basically nothing to do with the nuclear program. They talk about Iran's policy towards the Palestinian issue. They talk about human rights issues. They should be on Tehran's streets to see what humans on the streets of Tehran are saying about and thinking about and talking about. So I really won't accept this premise that if Iranian government fixes a little bit, little thing here or little thing there, then the problem will be solved. You know, the person who is has won the presidency, Dr. Rouhani, was Iran's nuclear negotiator for a number of years. When the problem first started. And the answer that he got from the Western side, being a moderate person, was always a no. So you have to basically realize what's going on. The nuclear issue is an excuse to pressure Iran politically and economically. And we had someone like James Clapper, the GNI, the head of the director of national intelligence, in April at U.S. Senate, basically said that he is not sure if the Iranian government has decided to make a nuclear weapon. And the question that a lot of Iranians have is that if he is not sure if the Iranian leaders have decided to do this or not, why are they sanctioning Iranian people so much? I'm in your building. I'm going to just cut off the phone and come to your floor, and then I'll see you there.
Okay, let me just take a quick break. I want to switch over to get in some of our Facebook comments. Let's take a look at comment one.
Absolutely democratic, and nowhere have I ever seen so many candidates for presidential candidates. So this should serve as an eye-opener for other countries. They should copy and learn to improve their own.
All right, well, let's, Mr. Walsh, could you hear the comment? Your take, sir.
I could, yes. Yeah, you know, every country should have its own system that is transparent and as democratic as possible. Now, I personally, this is just my personal opinion, am not a big fan of the Guardians Council. You know, I think basically people should be able to run or not run and not have to be approved by other people. But, you know, Iranians, they wrote their own constitution. They should choose their own system. You know, as long as it's broadly representative and democratic, then people can disagree about particular procedures. You know, let me come back to the issue that my colleague raised in Tehran. I agree that Congress has put lots of sanctions on for all sorts of reasons, no doubt about it. And I bet they're going to pass a bunch of other sanctions, too. But Congress doesn't determine U.S. foreign policy. The president does. And the most important topic of all those reasons why Congress passes sanctions bills, the number one policy issue for the administration is the nuclear program, right? That's what the P5 plus one is organized around. It's not organized around all these other issues that there are sanctions. It's organized around the nuclear issue.
Mr. Walsh, how could you say that when nothing has ever been proven that Iran had anything but a civilian nuclear program, and at the same time, we know that an entity like Israel has nuclear weapons, but yet nothing is done. So how can you say that it has to do just with the nuclear program?
I'd be happy to address that. Yeah. Well, again, my point is two points. One, the P5 plus one is only organized around the nuclear issue, not the other issues, right? So there's a gap there in your argument. Secondly, and most importantly, let's talk about the nuclear issue and why there are suspicions about Iran's program. Israel is not in the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. I wish it was. I wish it was a non-nuclear weapon state. I wish it was under full-scope IAEA safeguards. But you cannot force countries to join treaties. Countries join them voluntarily. Iran joined the Nonproliferation Treaty voluntarily, so it's obliged to follow those rules. Israel didn't, so it's not. I wish it was, but I can't force them
to
join the treaty.
Okay, stay with me. Let me turn to Mr. Izzadi, because I have him. He has made it to the studio. Thanks so much for being with us. I know it's been a tough journey getting here. Mr. Izzadi, tell us your take. Now, hopefully you've been able to follow this argument the whole way through, what Mr. Walsh has just commented on.
Yeah, I got everything except the stuff that I didn't hear on the elevator. Let me, since we are talking about Iran's election and I heard a comment about the Guardian Council, obviously there are different comments about the role of the Guardian Council. But when you have 73% of the population participating in an election that they know the Guardian Council manages, then it's insulting to people of Iran and the Iranian intelligence to tell them that you do or do not have a democracy. It's not for the so-called Iran experts to dictate to people of Iran how their system is supposed to run. We had that during the Shah. We kicked out Americans out of Iran because we did not like that system. That's why we had a revolution. And it was a popular revolution. And that was the end of American interference in Iranian affairs. And we are not going to sit idly and have some Assistant Secretary of State, right, like Wendy Sherman, tell us whether the system here is democratic or not. We, instead of having two candidates like the United States, we had eight candidates. Instead of having the candidates go to the 1%, to the very rich, to get their funding, we did not have that problem because the media here was providing free access to the candidates. So, and a lot of other reasons that we don't have time for. So the democracy here is much better than the democracy in the United States, and we have no doubt about it. And if you have a doubt about it, ask the people of Iran in the streets. They're going to tell you.
All right. And on that note, that brings us, unfortunately, to the end of this program. I would love to be able to continue it, but unfortunately, we are out of time. I'd like to thank Professor Fuad Ezzedine for making it here, the studios here in Tehran. He's, of course, a professor at University of Tehran, and also out of Boston, a research associate from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Mr. Jim Walsh. We appreciate you being with us. And as always, viewers, thank you so much for staying with us right here as we took a look at another debate. Make sure you join us at same time, same place tomorrow for another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.